Welcome to the Matt and Jeff
Show,
your one-stop shop for comics, comic book movies, and pop culture. I'm Matt.
And I'm Jeff. How you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing great.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was throwing a little Tony the Tiger
just
in there.
Trying to throw that in there.
Yeah.
All right.
Bring it back to my childhood. My roots.
Yeah?
How are you doing today, Jeff?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
No complaints.
Yeah, well, good.
Nobody listens anyway.
Hey, we do have those 7 or 8 listeners out there that
you're right
are sticking around.
We do.
For some godly reason, they like us.
Well, that's good. That's good. At least somebody does.
So we're back to part 2 dose.
Right.
Of
Comic Book Confessionals.
Oh, we're doing that.
Christianity. I know what you're talking about. Christianity and comics. I just had to throw it out. I wanted to surprise him.
You threw me off my game there, man.
Well, I have a confession.
You do? Oh, today. Wow. Comic Confessions with Matt and Jeff.
I totally binge-watched Supergirl.
Nice.
On Friday night.
I'm a little jealous because
had my son sitting next to me on the couch. We totally just rocked it out so we could be ready for season 2.
There you go. I did start the first episode of it. And I did like that she saved a bunch of people from a crashing plane, and then she was wet.
Yes. Yes.
I'm just going to leave it at that. So, you know, wet.
Super just wait girl. Till she tries the Supergirl costume on. Did you get that far yet?
No. I barely got through the first episode. I got maybe like 10 minutes.
When they start giving her Supergirl outfit options, you know, it gets kind of cool.
Get out the lube.
A little risky.
Oh, okay. So.
Nice. All right.
Yeah.
So, yes, welcome to today's podcast.
Yep. We're continuing with comics and Christianity. So I think we're going to kick it off with another high-profile character.
Okay.
That being Steve Rogers, a.k.a. Captain America. We know that he...
Now, wait a minute. He's Hail Hydran right now.
I'm taking a step back from this Hydra crapola. Okay?
All right.
I'm just checking.
You're trying to tell me that this man is a Christian and he hails Hydra.
Well,
there has got to be some serious mind wipe mojo going on here.
This is brainwashing. Don't even bother with the Captain America.
We'll move on from that. Now. Let's just get to the meat of what you wanted to discuss here.
I'm throwing Captain America out there because he's an influential icon in America and has been.
And fair enough.
You know, he's the Sentinel of Liberty. Everybody looks up to him.
They put a statue of him up in New York, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I thought was pretty sweet.
Basically, Superman don't have a statue.
What we found out is... What?
Superman don't have a statue. But he will. He will. I'm sure he will. We got the Hall of Justice in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I'm sure that we'll eventually get a...
Yeah.
A Superman statue somewhere.
I mean, there is no bat signal up in the sky. Not that I've seen.
You're just not looking in the right places.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
so back to Cap. We did find out that he is a Christian, although there's been conflicting information stating that at times he's a Protestant and at other times he's a Catholic.
I wonder if it depends on the writer.
Could be.
Regardless, his roots have stayed Christian. Very Christian.
Yeah, I mean, he's been the boy next door. You know, I think we can also look at him as... A Boy Scout.
I kind of prefer the girl next door,
well, yes.
But you know, that's cool.
I'm talking about American traditions and values.
Yes. I know. Okay? I know.
Because nowadays, you can't trust anybody next door.
Good point.
So, I'm trying to live back in the classic American tradition and values.
All right.
So, but we know that, you know, Captain America has a very strong faith in God. You know, his American religious views have played out in some of the comics and in the movies.
Right.
And we know that Captain America attends church on Sunday. According to Ultimates 2, 13-issue series, he talks about going to church. So you can't go wrong with that. You know, he does have strong Christian ethical and moral standards. I can't even talk right today.
Wow.
I'm off my game.
Wow.
Moral standards.
Wow. We're going to leave that in instead of doing a censored episode.
Oh, you don't want to edit that out.
We can just leave that in. Okay. You know, make it... You know, we make mistakes. We're human, right?
Yes.
Just like Captain America.
We know Cap disapproves of profanity and vulgarity.
Yes, because that was a running joke in Avengers Avengers 2.
And we know that it's more common for people to admire him, even though he may not always live up to most people's standards. He tries.
I think he lives to a higher standard than most people these days.
Yeah. And we know he kind of became...
It was always the way I looked at it.
Yeah.
He's the good old boy.
Right.
Leave it to Beaver.
Yeah. The Boy Scout.
The Boy Scout.
You know, we know that he kind of became a superhero by accident.
Yeah, super soldier...
Serum.
And
you know, he started out as that scrawny, weakling type kid. The sort of guy that, you know, kind of would get the sand kicked in his face or beat up old school style on the playground.
You've been there.
Yeah, been there many a times. So
we're still trying to get the super soldier serum for Matt.
I'm still going to therapy.
He still gets beat up.
So it's
sad.
Yeah, I think, you know, Cap has kind of persevered through a lot in his life and, you know, has stood up to differences, especially good old Tony Stark.
Yeah, Tony Stark's a prick.
Yeah, he is a prick. Screw you, Tony. But the one of the things that stood out in the Avengers movie is where Tony says, "You're a laboratory experiment, Rogers. Everything special about you came out of a bottle." And literally, I wanted to punch Tony in the face.
Well, you know, but see, one of the most memorable lines from the Avengers is when, I believe it was Black Widow,
yes,
tells Captain America, "That's a god down there," and he says, "There's only one god, ma'am, and I'm sure he doesn't dress that like that."
Yeah, yeah, she's talking about Thor, Loki, and Iron Man.
Exactly.
And Thor and Iron Man are going after Loki, and she says, "I'd sit this one out, Cap." And he's like, "I don't see how I can, because I'm Captain America." America.
Yeah.
So,
America.
Yeah. She says, "These guys come from legend. They're basically gods." And like you said, Jeff, he says, "There's only one god, ma'am, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that."
Yep.
So.
And he dives in, and so, yeah, you know,
so he's,
I gotta respect him for that. At least he's got some balls.
Yeah, you know, he's sticking to his roots of what he believes in.
Yep.
And you gotta admire that.
Yeah, you do. You
know? And I think he's, you know, a hero we can all look up to.
Certainly.
Despite Hydra.
So. Well, you know, Nick Spencer just wrote a story that the largest amount of populace doesn't really care for. That's okay. Eventually, he'll get it cleared up.
Yeah.
They always do.
Mm-hmm.
Everything goes back to the way it was.
I'm not going to read Cap until they clear that up.
I'm sure it'll be cleared up in no time, because they're going to launch a new number one.
Oh, yeah, that's,
I mean,
right.
It's Marvel.
Yeah, that's true.
It's Marvel. We're going to go 6 to maybe 8 issues, may make it 12, and we'll reboot the whole thing. So it's okay. Don't worry.
So maybe come New Year.
Yeah, maybe.
A new number one story.
I think there's a new number one actually coming in November.
Mm, okay. As long as it's not Cap Wolf.
It's not Cap Wolf.
I'll give it another shot.
It's not Cap Wolf.
But anyways, that's Captain America. And today we also want to get through a handful of other characters. I know in our part one series, we put a lot of emphasis on Superman and Daredevil.
Yes.
But today we want to acknowledge some of the other characters out in comics, some of the secondary characters that follow up, you know, to guys like Supes, Daredevil, and Cap.
Well, seeing as you're Catholic and all, I'm sure you'd love this character, but you might not know her very well. The Huntress.
Yes, I've become more familiar with her lately.
Because I keep mentioning her to you.
Yes.
She was very devout, and at times she seemed to rather lapse. Huntress has a very complicated relationship with the Catholic Church in which she was raised.
Mm-hmm.
She remains a believer, and if you look at her costume, all the iterations of her costume, she's always had a cross on it.
Mm-hmm.
Even during the Grayson time when, you know, when we had the Grayson series where there are spies and they're running around,
mm-hmm.
Helena Bertinelli happened to be the leader of Spiral. Originally, she was the matron, but then she became the leader of Spiral.
It
was a spy organization running around in the DC universe.
Nice.
And even then, she wore a black t-shirt with a white cross on it. So she has been very, very religious. She grew up as the sole surviving member of a crime family in Gotham. And so she's no stranger to deadly force. She loves to use a crossbow.
Mm.
She has no problem putting an arrow through somebody. And that often puts her on the opposite side of Batman.
Yeah.
A little bit. They have their little things, but Grayson had no problem hitting it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, he had absolutely no problem hitting it.
She was getting some dick.
In a manner of speaking.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's in reference to Dick Grayson.
Yes, exactly. Sorry. Exactly.
Hey, good for her.
And they had a relationship. She's part of the Birds of Prey. Oh, yeah. Which, if you recall, last week was my pick of the week.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Birds of the Prey.
Yep.
And, you know, Batgirl and Birds of Prey. And she's I'm one of them. She's been. I'm sure you are. She's hanging out with Black Canary and Batgirl. And, you know, three.
Smoking hot.
Pretty good reasons to pick up a comic book. So for years, she's been battling to dismantle the Gotham mob and has taken a lot of satisfaction in the knowledge that the girl who might have lived as the Mafia's princess has instead become the harbinger of its destruction, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You'll also note she appeared in Arrow Season 2, and I thought the actress did a pretty good job portraying her, although she came off a little crazy. She was also in Earth 2. So she's been on Earth 2, and we saw her grow up there under the name of Wayne. She was Helena Wayne on Earth 2. And she was the daughter of Batman and Catwoman. So,
oh yeah.
Different different world, but very similar backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause she's still a very devout Catholic.
Well, isn't the crime boss that she went after also, she found out later, was her real father?
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of a messed up
kind
of thing.
That's got to suck.
Yeah, once you put an arrow in him, I guess it's...
Yeah, but then...
You don't have to worry about making amends.
You find out that that's your father, and you just killed him, or attempted to kill him.
Well, you know, he certainly wasn't doing the right thing.
So,
but yes, it kind of sucks.
Who do we have next on our list?
Next on our list, I kind of want to jump to the Magdalena. I think she's a lesser-known character, and I want to touch on that.
Yeah, we've got two chicks here. Is this going to be like all chicks?
I am all for recognizing
the ladies.
The ladies of comics. So, the Magdalena, she first appeared in The Darkness. From Top Cow. She's a woman who was descended from Jesus Christ via his marriage to Mary Magdalene.
Mm.
The Magdalena inherits her powers that way from the royal bloodline and acts as a warrior in the defense of the Catholic Church.
Woo-hoo! Although that's a touchy subject in itself, Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Just saying.
I'm not touching it. I'm just sharing it.
I know.
The Roman Catholic Church had been Magdalena's employer since the Middle Ages, raising her from childhood and training her until she was ready to carry out her role. The Inquisition, a secretive and powerful council of cardinals, oversaw her activities and decided on her missions. Part of the time, she carried the Spear of Destiny, which was the spear that Christ sighed.
Yep.
And they had kept that hidden. And so she uses that in her battle with the darkness, as well as some pistols and some swords. So she actually was featured heavily in The Darkness, Witchblade, and Tomb Raider, and did a little stint with Vampirella.
Vampirella.
And a little crossover between Harris and Top Cow Comics.
Yeah.
And then later had her own miniseries, as well as... Actually, she had two miniseries. And then a 12-issue series in April 2010 to April 2011.
So. And I've seen the art on the Magdalena, and I gotta admit, it kind of turned me on. It was pretty hot.
Well, you know what they say.
What?
Only the good die young. Those Catholic girls wait much too late.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Joel had a whole song about it, you know?
Catholic schoolgirls.
So.
Brings me back. Brings me back.
You know, you gotta respect Billy Joel. All right.
Who do we have next?
That's.
I'm getting excited for another chick.
You know what? Because we don't want you to get too excited.
I might blow my load. There we go again, interjecting load. And I'm throwing
it's
up
a favorite
the
word.
Hand signals.
It's
for
a favorite
here.
Word of his. All right.
Favorite word of mine. You started the word. Load.
Yes. Yes.
Mm.
In reference to Bryan Singer.
Oh, geez.
Several times.
We're going to go there. We put him to rest.
Well, someone else who had an entirely crappy movie, but showed such a promise. let's start with that.
Is it who I think it is?
Let's jump over to Spawn.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was a crappy movie.
The animated series was good. It's back on HBO.
It is?
It's
is
on
it a
HBO.
Whole new series
no,
or the same?
No, they're rerunning it on HBO. Nice. HBO Go. So you can go back and check out the animated, both seasons.
Hell yeah.
So that was pretty good. That was a good series.
Yeah, Spawn is a huge...
Sucked as a live-action film.
It did. It was horrible. Although I think you said previously they're thinking about redoing it.
I heard there's going to be a reboot, yes.
If they're going to do it right.
Yes, Ben Affleck. I'm kidding.
as Spawn or the Violator or Malabolgia. No, I think he could really pull off...
Or Jason Wynn.
Yeah, I think he could pull off Caligostro.
I kind of think that Robert Downey Jr., since he did such a great job in Tropic Thunder...
Oh, yeah.
He could play Al Simmons.
He could. Yeah. Paint him up that way.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I'm the dude. Yeah. Acting like the dude who's acting like that other dude who thinks he's the other dude.
Tropic Thunder.
All right. Anyway, why don't you tell us a little bit about Spawn?
We just derailed there for a minute. We're having a white guy get painted up as a black guy to play Al Simmons' Spawn. So.
Just, you know.
I don't know. I think it could work.
After Iron Man, what's Robert Downey Jr. going to do? I mean, come on.
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of his claim to fame. Back out of prison with his drug issues and alcohol issues.
So. Right. He was perfect for Tony.
Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway, back to Spawn.
Yeah.
Really, Spawn. I think you should cast a black man.
I'm not going to say Spawn. Yeah. I'm not going to say Spawn is a huge Christian. Or has a huge Christian influence. I am going to say there's a lot of religious tone in the story of Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven, hell,
yep.
Afterlife, and what you do in life.
There's angels, there's...
Yeah, it's a mix of stuff.
Demons, there's a Violator who sometimes is a clown,
yeah.
Sometimes he's not.
You got...
There's revenge and retribution and...
Yeah, redemption.
Redemption.
I mean, we start out with Lieutenant Colonel.
There's Angela.
You know, we start with...
Tiffany. Go ahead, sorry. Wanda.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting until you're done. We're going with Spawn. It's Lieutenant Colonel Albert Francis, who's also known as Al Simmons. He was retired from the United States Marine Corps, a highly trained Marine who was at his most successful point when he saved the president from an attempted assassination. So he just shot right up in the ranks.
Mm-hmm.
He was promoted to a high-level position within the CIA and devoted to the black ops. Now,
right.
Here's where it went wrong. He was on a mission. He began to question his morality on what his agency was doing.
See? He must have had some Christian faith and somewhere in there.
I believe.
Or at least some religious faith.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He's got. He's contemplating his morals and values.
Right.
You know. And we all like to believe the CIA is a good agency. But, according to this storyline, it's questionable. I believe Al was on a mission with his friend and partner. In a blazing inferno, Simmons was killed and his soul was sent to hell. But his friend, right, his best friend, I believe,
yeah,
Jason
Bruce.
Wynn, hired a guy
yeah.
named Bruce Stinson, codenamed Chapel.
See, I thought they were friends. But it's been so
I
long
have to
since
go
I've
back
read
and
it.
Reread it.
It's been so long since I've read yeah. it, but I thought Chapel and Al Simmons were friends, or they knew each
I
other
think
at least.
Wynn set up Simmons with Stinson or Chapel. It was a setup.
Right.
He had his best friend killed.
Chapel was a member of Youngblood, a Rob Liefeld creation.
Oh God. Did he have that over extensive
chest? You know what? Yes, he did. He did. He had a skull painted on his face because they couldn't put on his shirt like Punisher because, you know, he was Chapel instead.
But. I think Spawn knew stuff was going on. You know, he ended up being killed on a mission. I think, he was set up by his friend and he ends up going into hell and he makes a deal with the devil.
Right. Who happens to be known as the Malbolgia.
Right.
Right?
Yes. In exchange for his soul, he would get to see his wife once again.
Right.
Wanda.
Right. Wanda.
Right. But in the
and
midst
their daughter,
of him...
And their daughter,
Cyan. Yes. But I think in the midst of him seeing his wife and his daughter once again, time had passed.
Yes, because they were with Terry, who was also his friend at one point.
Yes. So...
Yeah, Terry Fitzgerald.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. See? I gotta go back and reread Spawn all over again.
I sold my issues when the movie came out. I made a killing.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I didn't hang on to him.
Oh yeah. No,
sorry,
you're right.
Todd.
It is Terry
you've
Fitzgerald.
You've done a lot of great things, Todd. I really respect a lot of what McFarlane did for comics and toys and everything.
Oh but, yeah. I mean, he made his millions.
But
he's probably still banking.
Yeah.
But
just
you know,
it's a better movie.
We see that. Al Simmons makes a deal with the devil. He's kind of casted into another realm, but he also has access to Earth.
Right.
And he's given a limited amount of powers.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to use his powers for good.
Right.
But every time he uses his powers, he weakens himself.
Right.
And it's almost like...
gets him closer back to being in hell.
Yeah, it's almost like he's got a fishing line on him, and every time he uses a power, the reel comes in a little bit, like it's jerking at his collar.
And that's why Caligosto,
yeah, whatever.
There's a dude hanging out in the alleyways that's trying to teach him how to use his powers and how to keep them in reserve and do the things that he needs to do.
Yeah.
As he goes after Jason Wynn and ends up fighting with the Violator.
Yep.
Or the Clown.
Yep.
Either one, depends on how you...
Props to John Leguizamo once again in the movie.
Yeah, yeah, that was the best part of that movie.
John, if you're listening, you were the best part of that movie, hands down.
Yes.
So, but that, I mean, Spawn kind of pushed through, you know, all the issues. He dealt with different situations as a Hellspawn in the real world, you know, and throughout the storyline we see changes, we see other characters being introduced, but it's always Spawn questioning what should he do, should he take action. He has to worry about his limited amount of powers, otherwise he's going to be thrown right back into hell. And so
I think at one point he did go back and defeated the Malbolgia and came back with all those powers again.
Yeah, well, I think he probably fought the Violator. I think he was trying to take down the Violator, but Malbolgia stepped in.
Yeah, I remember him taking down the Malbolgia.
At some point.
And that's how he got his powers back. And
So we can't say there's been a lot of Christian influence. I mean, there might be some tones taken from Spawn.
That comic book is still running.
It is.
It still exists.
Wow.
It is one of the very first. In fact, I think it is the longest running title from Image. When it started, you know, I don't know. I don't think the local comic shop carries many issues. One or two come in. Somebody still reads it. I know they just had a big thing. I don't remember if it was 250 issue. Mm. It's been around for a while, and it apparently has some following.
Well, I mean, Spawn was a huge hit when he came out. Mm-hmm. Comics. And then McFarlane got his toy line running.
Well, that was when all the greats left Marvel. You know, had Jim Lee, Mark Silvestri, and Will Portacio, Todd McFarlane, Eric Larson, and Rob Liefeld that all left Marvel after being on all the X books for a while, and Spider-Man.
Yeah,
they all left and started their own company called Image.
Yeah.
And
that's
when we ended up with Wildstorm and Top Cow. And
was Witchblade one of them?
Witchblade started later. Originally it was Cyberforce was what Silvestri put out, and Wildcats was Jim Lee's book.
The Darkness.
That was much later as well. Mm. You had Wetworks from Will Portacio. So there were a lot of really good things. Youngblood, which we didn't really like. Savage Dragon from Eric Larson, and then Spawn from Todd McFarlane. So, I mean, it started out really good and had a lot of really good premise, and I think that it got old for a lot of people. But he was a good character, and it did, like you said, it had a lot of religious underlines in it.
Yeah, and I think towards the end, they picked up a storyline called Redemption, where he had the chance to be redeemed by God back into heaven, and having to deal with certain angels that came down and were kind of guiding him along in his redemption.
Yeah, so, I didn't read it probably that far.
So, I mean, I picked up a few issues here and there towards the redemption state, but by then, you know, I was kind of lost.
I remember all the angels trying to kill him.
I had stopped reading because here's the thing that I thought sucked about the Spawn series is because he had a limited amount of powers, you would have certain issues that were just flat. And boring, and nothing happened in them, you know, and it'd be like every 2 to 3 episodes he would use his powers, but you would never know because you'd have to go back and keep buying every issue just because I don't know if he's going to use his powers in this issue, so I might as well buy the issue. So that's where McFarlane really suckered you in to keep you going.
Like I said, I think it was a good premise, and it was something that he had in his mind since he was a teenager, if I remember correctly.
For Spawn, take it as it is, what you will.
Yep.
But yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. It had a good start, had a good run.
Mm-hmm.
The movie did suck. I really liked him as a character. There even was a Spawn Bible comic book put out that has all the history behind Spawn and the characters, which ties in more of your religious tones and themes.
There you go.
So So we're going to put Spawn to rest here.
Yes. And we're going to deal with another person who deals a lot with heaven and hell. He had a short-lived TV series. You know, it was kind of sad because it was pretty good.
I don't know. I'm thinking of a few here.
NBC, you know, needs to broadcast crap, I guess, because they put out a lot of lousy shows instead and took this one off the air. So, John Constantine.
Yes.
Was the central character in Hellblazer, which was a mature reader's title at Vertigo for a long, long run.
Right.
And he's portrayed as a humanist in the comic book series, but was overly portrayed as a Catholic character in the feature film adaptation with Keanu Reeves, titled Constantine. Yeah, Constantine. Slip of the tongue.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of Keanu.
Keanu, no, not so much. He overacts.
Yeah.
I did like him in John Wick, but that's a different story. I did like the Constantine TV series that was on NBC.
Oh, yeah. I loved
it. The actor in there, phenomenal. And he's going to do the voice for Constantine in the Justice League Dark animated movie. So through DC Entertainment. And so I think that's great. You know, it's good to see that he's still getting opportunities. He showed up in Arrow last season as Constantine. I really liked his portrayal.
Yeah, I definitely like the actor they picked for the TV series. Unfortunately, it was short-lived. It was canceled.
Right.
I was watching it. I dug it. You know,
it is on DVD now or in Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So you can find it.
Season one or the only
starting
season.
At the beginning of October.
Yeah. I thought they had a really good cast for the actor. It definitely, you know, was closer to the character in the trade backs or the storylines. We know that he was a British character.
Smoking his fags and doing his magic. He was a magician and he learned the dark arts.
Yeah.
And was very engrossed in that. He, according to Justice League Dark, he had a relationship with Zatanna, knew her from a long time ago, knew several other magic users, including some that went definitely the bad side of it.
Yeah.
Constantine's is so well-rounded with the way that he can use it. So he will trap demons, he will deal with angels that sometimes go off kilter. Zatanna uses backwards words, and he knows that magic as well. So he's kind of the main magic go-to guy in the DC universe.
Yeah.
He or Zatanna would be my picks, and he's stronger than Zatanna in many ways.
Although it seems like he doesn't want to use the magic that much. Like, he tries to outwit people.
Oh yeah, I mean he's gonna use his brains, which I think is great that he does that. It makes sense because he does have to manipulate demons,
other humans, any kind of evil force, and you know we can kind of look at him as like the greatest con man in the DC realm.
Yes, he is definitely a con man.
You know, I'm sure he definitely gives Superman and Batman a run for their money.
Oh, I think Batman or Superman would beat him. I mean, they'd kick the snot out of him. Although Superman has problems with magic, so Batman's probably your better pick.
Yeah, maybe. So
it's less likely he's going to con Batman.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I think Constantine kind of is a conflicted character again.
He is,
and he tries to draw in a lot. You know, he's got his issues with God and heaven. He's got his issues with Lucifer or Satan.
Well, yeah.
Or
I mean,
the devil and hell.
He had cancer at one point and sold his soul to the devil.
Yeah.
In order to get over it. So, I mean, you know, he fought through a lot of different things, and he's been to hell, he's come back.
He's been to heaven. I mean, he knows.
He's been to heaven and come
all
back.
All the routes to heaven, to hell, the afterlife. You know, he uses them to escape and teleport without danger of being chased, we know, by his enemies.
Right.
Which I think is actually pretty powerful.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
out
of all the characters in comics.
Oh, yeah.
This guy can kind of just poof, snap of his finger, he's in heaven, snap of his finger, he's in hell, or, oh my God, I got a demon after me, boom, I'm out of here.
Yeah, he's definitely a power horse. His rebirth issues, I've heard, are really good. I have not read them myself, but what I'm hearing is they've done a good job at bringing him back more to his Hellblazer roots and a little bit away from the New 52... Yeah. Constantine book that was out. So I'm hearing it's good. I haven't picked it up.
I've read a trade or two, and I liked Constantine. But I think the show really sold me.
Yeah.
The movie, I liked principles of it.
Right.
I just didn't think Keanu was the guy. It just didn't fit. But I think once the show came out, I dug the actor, and I dug that each episode was a different
right
kind of path of demons they were taking down. And it's sad that the show got canceled.
Yeah,
because I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, because really, it's better than Supernatural. I think it could have been a much longer running show with a stronger lead. So
yeah, I don't know why.
Not to knock the Supernatural guys; they've done a great job.
I was gonna say, they've had a long run.
They've had a very long run. They're still running, as far as I know.
Yeah. I mean, he's a character that, kind of dives outside of, your standard typical view of Christianity, dealing with the occult and, black magic, dark arts. You know, like you said, he's a magician.
Right.
I mean, I think he could totally take down Doctor Strange. That's my view.
Yeah, probably.
Strange has got nothing on Constantine.
Well, I'll have to wait and see the movie, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think his movie is going to beat the Constantine movie, but...
Oh, yeah.
I think Constantine would take him in a fight.
Oh, right. Totally. So.
Well, that brings us to our next one. How about a little Azrael? We know Azrael from Batman.
We do.
We know that he was Jean-Paul Valley, a devout Christian in the Order of St. Dumas.
Or dumbass.
Wow. All right. You're the Catholic.
Hey, us Catholics don't care. We can say whatever we want.
Hey, whatever, man.
As long as we atone for our sins and...
Well, it's not unusual for him to pray to St. Dumas to intercede with the Almighty on his behalf.
You were even thinking dumbass there for a second.
Not really.
Uh-huh.
There's only one S, man. Much like a normal Catholic would do, he had his favored saint. And much of the faith of the Templars, and by the extension of the Order of St. Dumas, draws upon the more agnostic Christian tradition, which endeavors to bring human condition to ascension through wisdom and theurgy. We knew him when Batman's back got broken.
Yeah,
by Bane. He started showing up a little bit, and Batman kind of had worked with him. Mm-hmm. Azrael was originally drawn by Joey Q.
Oh, really?
Favorite Joe Quesada. Yeah.
Interesting.
Joe Quesada worked on him. He actually created the Batman costume for him when he took over as Batman. But when Batman's back got broken by Bane back during the Nightfall series... He asked Jean-Paul Valley to take over for him. And
are you French now all of a sudden?
Jean-Paul Valley.
Jean-Paul?
Sure.
Jean-Claude?
I'm not Jean-Claude. I'm just trying to get into that whole Catholic motif there. Yeah. So right. He takes over for Batman, becomes... Oh, come on, man. Really?
Yeah.
You were supposed to leave that out before we started recording.
I can't help it. I'm getting nervous over here.
Anyway.
You're putting me on the spot as a Catholic. Yes, we know Azrael.
So he took over for Batman and ended up going to the extreme, resulting in when Batman's back was fully healed back up, Batman had to take down the new Batman and tell him, hey, you can't do this anymore. You're killing people. You're out of control. And now he's back in his original raiment, which denotes obedience to St. Dumas. We did see him at the beginning of the rebirth for Detective as we went back to the old numbering. And we saw the Order. No, the Colony. Sorry. Mm. The Colony. There's too many different things going on. The Colony...
Yeah, he seems like a pretty
in-depth Detective character. Kicked the crap out of him. Left him all bloodied and battered and almost dead. And that's when Batman started to put two and two together, pulled him in, started nursing him back to health, made sure that he got the health and care that he needed. And that's when Batman, Tim Drake, Batwoman, Clayface, Spoiler, and Cassandra Cain Batgirl joined forces to go after the Colony, leading them back to Batwoman's father and his top secret government stuff. So
yeah. I want to interject one thing about Azrael. Wonder Woman, Mary Jane, Harley Quinn, go.
What? Oh, that? Really?
Yes. Bang one, kill one, marry one. You're on the spot. Go.
I would probably have to kill Harley Quinn. She's a little crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't know what she would do. Although, it might be a little freaky.
Oh, man. Jeff's got a wild side to him.
Mary Jane, I would probably marry Mary Jane because Spider-Man was too stupid to keep it going.
Yeah.
You sold your soul to the devil.
You Momo.
What is wrong with you? Sold out your marriage to a supermodel. And Wonder Woman, definitely. Definitely banging Wonder Woman. So,
All right.
There you go. Wow, he just kind of interjected that right in the middle of that. We're on this whole Christian motif, and he throws that in.
Yeah, unexpected.
Wow, yeah, me off. That. I was not expecting
that. I told you us Catholics are
dirty. That was not in my show notes.
Dirty, dirty people.
It's definitely not in my show
and
notes.
And the Bang One, Kill One, Marry One was brought to you by Matt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just wait till we get to comic book confessionals.
Oh, God. Was that it for Azrael?
Or did we yes, have that's more? It for Azrael.
Who else we got on the list? We're just pushing through these Christians. Well, you Christians. Know,
I think we've got some honorable mentions here, and I just want to kind of quickly go through Zariel.
Yeah.
Zariel was an angel who joined the JLA back during Grant Morrison's run. He was an angel from God who became a superhero. He was not simply a generic angel. He specifically invoked the name of Jesus Christ as a source of strength.
Woo-hoo!
Zariel also can be regarded as a Christian. He has never stated a preference for any specific denomination, and it's unlikely that he ever will, considering he works directly for the big man upstairs.
Yeah, I mean, why would you?
You know, there's no point in calling that out and potentially being wrong. After all, South Park has already told us what the correct religion is.
The Mormons.
That's right. All right, so Zariel ended up being assigned by the Presence, or God, as a guardian angel, and he protected the souls of various people over the centuries, including Cleopatra, Mona Lisa, and Joan of Arc.
Wow, that's some heavy hitters.
He did fall in love with one of his charges, which is generally a no-no. So to be with her, he gave up his immortality, still had his wings and certain powers, like the ability to part oceans along with his flaming sword and sonic scream, and he appeared on Earth.
Yeah.
He did aid Kendra Saunders, who is Hawkgirl, in discovering the true nature of her identity as a descendant of the bride of Khafu, an Egyptian prince, along with the very first Hawkman.
Khafu?
Yeah, Khafu.
Oh, sorry, I was clearing my throat.
There you go. All right, so he aided the JLA against the angel Asmodeus, and later joined the Justice League as a spiritual advisor. Mm. In the Justice League Dark Justice League crossover event that happened in the New 52, he was captured by Felix Faust, and his wings were cut off.
Ouch.
Yes. Brutal. Bummer. Brutal. But as far as we know, he's still kicking around in the new DC universe. We have not seen him yet, but it will not surprise me if he doesn't make an appearance at some point. Another one that goes hand in hand with that is the Hand of God, or the Wrath of God, the Spectre.
There you go.
We know the Spectre was Jim Corrigan for a while.
Mm.
He was also Hal Jordan. When Hal Jordan decided to sacrifice himself and destroy the moon and all that after he went all parallaxy and he died, and he got a second chance. He got a chance at redemption. He was then brought in as the Spectre. And during his stint as the Spectre, he brought back Green Arrow from the dead. Ollie came back. Whoop, whoop. And at the time, he had the goatee, too. They lost it for the New 52, but they brought it back with the Rebirth. And then he later, during Green Lantern Rebirth, one of the premier comics written by Geoff Johns that brought Hal Jordan back as Green Lantern, and the Spectre then once again became Jim Corrigan, who was a police officer in Gotham City for a while.
So I think we got some honorable mentions, too, right?
Yes. Preacher?
Preacher's definitely one.
You watched Preacher on AMC,
I did.
Right?
I watched a little bit of that? The series, the show. Well, I watched a couple of episodes.
Is it over?
You know, I think they got through season one.
Did they?
And I heard it was picked up for season two, but I'm not sure. And
I just know they got Arseface.
Yeah. Yeah, that special effects was pretty good, but it was also creepy to look at.
Yeah.
So, but I like the show so far. It had, you know, I watched the first couple of episodes. We know it's obviously the preacher is not a Roman Catholic necessarily, but a Christian himself, maybe possibly a Protestant, based on what we've seen in the show. He does wear the collar, but you also got to understand not every Protestant faith wears the collar versus not wearing the collar. So it's possible he could have been a Roman Catholic or a Protestant of some other nature, you know, wearing the collar. We know it's, you know, the preacher is Jesse Custer. He's a preacher in a small town in Texas.
And his church got destroyed.
It did.
No way to be a preacher. You're supposed to take care of your flock, not blow them up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a creature named Genesis that shoots down and destroys his church.
Likely excuse.
Well, I mean, the incident, you know, hit the church, killed his entire congregation. And since then, Genesis kind of inflicted himself upon Jesse.
He hangs out with a hard-drinking Irish vampire.
He does. And his ex-girlfriend.
And his ex-girlfriend, Tulip.
I think got a lot of religious tones and influences on it. Yeah. You know, and he's kind of this driving force with Genesis that's kind of invaded his body. Mm-hmm. So he carries about mystical powers. And, you know, the entity Genesis, we kind of know, doesn't really understand good versus evil. Mm-hmm. And just kind of reacts. We see that these three characters, two of them that you just mentioned, you know, they go on a journey encountering enemies and obstacles, both sacred and profane.
So, right. I think the general premise of the whole thing is they're trying to find God and getting back. To
yes.
Take back over. I don't know why God decided to go on leave.
Well, supposedly
he's gone somewhere.
The theory is that God
sitting on a beach
abandoned heaven yes. the moment Genesis was created.
Right.
So I don't know if God was unhappy with his creation, but that's all part of the Preacher story.
Yeah.
Preacher's an honorable mention. Yep. I would like to throw out Nightcrawler.
Yes, Nightcrawler.
Kurt Wagner
yep.
is the Nightcrawler. He was a mutant for the X-Men. He was decorated with his blue skin and angelic symbols, showing his devout practice yep. of the faith. That's an honorable mention.
The Called?
The Called. I'll let
you know. The Called happens to be a Mormon group of Avengers that were functioning after the Civil War. Mm. The first Civil War in Utah, and they were a part of the Avengers Initiative, where they had different Avengers teams
nice.
In several states around,
yeah.
and the Called were one of those. Not a whole lot known about them. I think they were only in a few issues.
Possibly.
If that, but there was a mention of them. Also, Etrigan, the demon Etrigan. He's a demon. There's a little bit of religious, you know, obviously there's going to be some sort of religious undertones when you're saying, oh, there's a demon. And he hangs out in a guy named Jason Blood.
Yeah.
And he uses a phrase in order to get the demon Etrigan to come out, and he uses a phrase to put the demon away. That stems from a curse that he received back in medieval times.
I mean, you could throw Hellboy out there, too, as an honorable
Certainly.
Mention.
Certainly, you know, Hellboy, I think, definitely has a lot of Christian principles and
a couple of our honorable mentions right there. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, kind of wraps it up for our...
And then there was also Battle Pope from Tony Moore.
Yeah.
Don't know much about it, but I know there was a comic called Battle Pope.
I might have to look into that one.
You might have to look into that one.
I mean, does he have, like, M16?
I have no idea.
Launchers and everything.
I have no idea, but when we get Tony Moore on here, if you want, you can ask him about it.
You know what? I'm looking forward to Tony coming on. I got a lot of questions for him. So stay tuned, you Walking Dead fans.
Yep. We are in the works. We are in talks with the Colonel Tony Moore to have him come on at some point here in the near future.
Yes. So I think that wraps it up for characters in Christianity, although there's many more out there.
Yeah, there's a lot more out there.
We just wanted to focus in on some of the most important ones and, you know, some of the secondary type ones and some honorable mentions. But before we go, we got to throw out pick of the week.
All right, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week, my pal. Pew. I really am digging Zack Snyder tweeting. He's getting his tweets out. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Batman's tactical suit. We saw a tweet on that. J.K. Simmons, we saw him in a photo of the lights of the bat symbol coming
yes.
out.
Yes, yes.
So I really dug seeing that. I'm getting excited. You know, I'm so excited for the Justice League movie. It's like a bolt of lightning has hit the tip of my penis exciting. So I'm ready for that. I also did check out...
TMI?
Yeah.
TMI. Going to say it.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm excited. So, the other thing for my pick of the week... What?
Blackened.
Blackened?
You just said lightning struck your penis. It's blackened.
Oh. All right.
Fried off.
Wow.
TMI. TMI.
Okay. The other thing
Shazam!
I was going to say was Supergirl. There was a trailer for season 2 out.
Yes, so I
saw that. I thought that was looking pretty sweet.
I love how now when she gets ready to fly, the ground starts coming up. They did a great job of incorporating that from the Man of Steel and
yes.
Dawn of and yes. Dawn of Justice films.
Yep.
Love that look. Yep. Perfect. So. Great job. I like her look. I'm still not sold on Superman, though, so yeah. I hope he's only in a few episodes and can go...
I saw the photos and his cape. I don't know. It's just not doing it for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, we got an angry dog outside. Sorry. My other last pick of the week, I picked up Batman Year One, the trade.
Okay.
I did really enjoy the animated movie mm-hmm. that you had lent me.
Yes.
And so I wanted to give good old Frank Miller a chance at reading some Batman again. So, digging Year One. So, all right. Those are my picks of the week.
Great. You? Great. Mine right now goes to Stranger Things on Netflix.
Ah, yeah.
A little bit of pop culture. I started watching it with my wife the other night. And we're about three episodes in. So, we've watched three episodes. So far, it's good. It's very intriguing. I do recommend it. It does take a little bit to get going, but it's very reminiscent of an X-Files or, you know, some sort of mystery kind of show.
Yeah. E.T., Mac and Me.
You know, I'm still not sure where your E.T. thing focuses in, so we'll have to wait till I finish the series, and maybe I'll understand it.
I don't know. I always thought it was like E.T. meets X-Files. Like,
I haven't seen any Reese's Pieces.
Jillian and
I haven't seen any Reese's Pieces, and that was the highlight of E.T. So, yeah. Anyway.
Phone home.
Stranger Things. Yeah, he should have called home earlier. Stranger Things. It so far, it's been really good. I do recommend taking it and taking a look at it. I also want to give a shout-out to the Game of Thrones people who won an amazing amount of Emmys last night.
Yes.
I
did see that.
They did great. They've got the record. It's been a great show. Matt, you're going to have to get up to speed and watch it.
I know. There's just so much out there.
When it comes out again, I'm going to be talking it because Game of Thrones is pretty sweet.
I'll just sit here in silence.
Yeah. Yeah, you will. but the other shout-out that I want to give or pick of the week is Skyborn from Boom. It's only going to be a 5 issues. It's done by Frank Cho, who most of us know for the lovely women that he draws, you know, or Liberty Meadows. This is a modern-day tale with Merlin, Excalibur, the descendants of King Arthur. And so they're facing up against Merlin and trying to get back Excalibur. And the first issue was really cool, so I do have to say that was a pick of the week. Really respect Frank Cho. His line work is amazing. I love his inks. He puts a lot into it, and he's been doing some great Wonder Woman variant covers. Mm-hmm. I am looking forward to seeing Jenny Frisson do some coming up here soon. Always give a shout-out to Jenny Frisson.
Cool. I think that about wraps it up.
All right.
For this episode. So, once again, Christian Comics.
Right. This was part two. We are not doing a part three at this point.
Oh, man. Come on.
No, we're going to move on to another topic next week. So,
okay.
If you guys have a topic that you'd like us to know, drop us a line.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there's anything. I know that we've only got like 5 to 7 listeners.
Give them the email, Jeff. Give them the email.
Just shoot us an email at thematandjeffshow@gmail.com.
You got it.
We will
consider
any topics you throw out there.
So
maybe even give you a shout out for mentioning it.
Yeah, sweet.
So
looking forward to it.
Thanks.
So
hope to hear from you guys.
All right, well, that about wraps it up for this episode. So thank you for listening in, and we'll see you next time.